Shut off the music and we will go.
Workout playlist. Have you gone to the Iron Physique?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Not.
What?
I haven't been inside.
Dude, you gotta get in.
I have not yet. I'll put it on my list.
Yeah.
Is it open?
Yeah, it's open.
I didn't know. When did it open? Just last week.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, almost a month, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah, we went in there. It was fun.
Was it?
I didn't actually lift, but
was it a bodybuilder, like powerlifter kind of gym? Yeah. You just walk in there, you just smell all the
big guys. They're huge.
Smell all the dudes.
They are huge.
Yeah, I'll slide in there real quick.
And then you're gonna, when you speak, Josh, just so you know, you'll have to go in just a little bit. Like you're just out of the camera. I'll show you there.
Oh, okay. Yep.
You can maybe move yours back a little too. It might help. Oh, perfect. Guess what day it is?
What day is it?
It's Monday, and we're live.
We're live.
On the office of the China Hall. You can talk. Like that's what we're here to do.
I didn't realize we were live.
Yeah, we are live.
We're in syndication.
We just surprise people. You know, we don't give them any heads up. We're just like, all right, we're live. Let's go.
We're live.
So we were just chatting about your weekend. How was everybody's weekend?
Good.
What'd you do, Josh?
Good. Uneventful. Just got a lot of work done. Caught up, and yeah.
Nice.
It was good.
I was telling you, I picked up some leaves, went to the leaf dump. I was the only guy there. It was kind of fun.
You were alone.
Yeah, I turned up the music, started throwing them all into the pile, and tried not to get my allergies too stirred up.
Oh, you're effed. Spring's coming, summer's coming, fall's coming. Good luck. Good luck.
Yeah. How about you? What'd you do this weekend?
So minimal house stuff, maximum ninja stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, went over to Jets Gymnastics over in Northeast. And they have ninja open houses on the weekends from like 6:30 until about 9. And I went in there with some guys and just did some open gym stuff, did some balance work, did some flips, did some handstands, just a ton of ninja stuff.
That is cool.
Just had a good time.
I wish I could say I did ninja stuff.
Just do ninja stuff.
Yeah, I was just doing ninja stuff.
Just hanging out doing ninja stuff. Kicked it with
my
puppies.
Kind of my normal weekend.
Yeah, that's all I did. Watch some Netflix, some Crunchyroll. Yeah, it was good.
How about you?
Nothing near as exciting as ninja stuff. I did a whole lot of nothing and a whole lot of walking outside, getting some vitamin D.
Yes.
It's a good weekend for that.
Yeah. You
get that calcium.
It's finally nice out. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll make our rounds. We'll make our introductions. So my name is Bucky Beeman. I'm a commercial real estate agent here in Rochester and one of the co-founders of the offices at China Hall. You're next.
My name is Aaron Greer, and I guess sometimes I go by the Vegan Millennial. That's my Instagram, but people in the community started recognizing me as the Vegan Millennial, so I go by Aaron. I'll go by that, and I work at Fernbrook Family Center. I work as their adult service coordinator, and I also do some HR and some PR stuff for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm Shannon Brown. I'm the clinical director for the Fernbrook in Olmsted.
Who are you?
And I am Josh Langmaid. I own MediaCore here in town, video production and social media marketing.
So what is Fernbrook Family Center? Here I'll give you a little background. So I was just typing in the address or like Fernbrook on Google, and then I saw a picture of your existing building, and I was like, oh, I've seen that place. Mm-hmm. That's about as far as I've got as well. That's what I know about Fernbrook.
Okay, so the existing building, are you talking about Southwest?
Greenview Drive, yeah.
Greenview Drive, Southwest. That's our existing building. We're a mental health agency here in town, but also throughout all of Southeast Minnesota. So we're here in Olmsted, but we go as far over as Mankato, we go as far up as Goodhue, and we go as far down as Maurer County. So we're a mental health agency. We do, like, you know, the traditional therapy, like you would cross your legs and ask people about their mom. We do some of that. We do some new types of therapy where we're actually going out into the community, picking people up, working with them out there. We also work in the schools providing mental health services to kids. And my sector, we also work with adults. Find adults who are on the street, need housing, get them housing, and then get them some mental health after they got their housing needs taken care of. So we do a little bit of everything. But when it comes to people and taking care of our community, that's the main thing we're out there trying to do. No matter how it looks, that's our goal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the existing building will be our building for like another three weeks-ish?
Yeah, 4 weeks.
And we're building a new building over on West Circle Drive.
Oh my gosh, yes. Our brand new building over on West Circle Drive. It's okay, right, if you know where McDonald's is, then you know where Aldi is, then you know where Sleep Number is. We're right next to Aldi, right next to Sleep Number in that giant brand new building popping up.
With right Dunkin' Donuts?
Donuts. Yes. Yeah. No, not Dunkin' Donuts. Just Dunkin'. They do more than donuts now. Now they have.
Now they're known as Dunkin'.
Now they're just Dunkin'. Yeah. So the sign on the it'll say Dunkin'. It'll mean Dunkin' Donuts, but we're right upstairs. We're Fernbrook family, right upstairs.
Got it.
Nice. Yes.
Now I know where you're heading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Yes. If you just smell the donuts and then look up, that's us.
That's gonna be a rough workplace. It'd be sitting in there just craving donuts all day.
There'd be simple sugars everywhere, but that's okay.
It's where your ninja skills will have to come into play.
I'll sneak down and sneak back up.
So Fernbrook, when did it get started? Was it something that started here in the last couple of years? Has it been in town for a while? Started in
Owatonna, that's where our headquarters is, in fall of 2002. We've been in Olmsted about 6 years. So they started in Owatonna and have spread their wings since that time. So, I mean, it's a relatively new company and relatively new here in Rochester. So about 6 years.
How long have you been with Fernbrook?
So I've been with Fernbrook for about half of a decade. Which means it's like four years. It'll be like 4 years in this May, but it's the longest I've ever had one job. And it's once you decide, hey, I'm no longer just trying to find a job, skipping around aimlessly, and you say, okay, this is the direction that I want for my life. This is kind of where I find my passion and things. I landed here at Fernbrook, and four years later, I'm still here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
Seven.
Okay.
So When I started, I was in the Casson office, so in Dodge County, driving all over those little towns over there, and they were just starting to take clients here in Rochester. So that was before we even had an office. We would just see clients at parks or at their homes or random places in town. We didn't even have an office here 7 years ago.
And how, I notice now you have more outbound marketing, like I think a radio ad's going on right now that I've been hearing a few times. How do you find clients, or do clients tend to find you? Is it, you know,
both? I would say, I mean, a lot of it is word of mouth. My neighbor said they get services from Fernbrook. Right. How do I get services? Right. A lot of it is referrals from schools or counties. So they have county social workers. Some from maybe they were hospitalized over at Generos or something, and they're recommending it. So it's a mix of both self referral and
because the biggest. Like, you know, quantity wise of where we, you know, a lot of where our clients and things come from is from our usually kids from about 5 to 17 in the school, which we call our community program. So a lot of those kids or clients, they're receiving services through the county. They're getting some other things from the school. So when you got all hands on deck when it comes to these kiddos, it's pretty easy for folks to say, hey, this kid is in need of X amount of services. So they refer them to here or to there. So we make a lot of referrals based on what we see to place in the community. And we got tons of people in the community who make referrals to us. So it's kind of like it's like barter, but for like mental health. And you know what I mean? Like, hey, this person needs these things. Hey, we can help you with this. Hey, this person needs those things. Maybe we can send them over there. So it's a lot of it's just referrals from those, like I said, kids from about 5 to 17.
And do you have people that are going into the schools during a school day, or is it after a school day? Or
people housed in most of the schools in Rochester. So we got a grant through the Department of Human Services in conjunction with a couple other agencies in town and the school districts. So we put a therapist right in the school. So we have them in all the public high schools, middle schools, and most of the elementary schools. So helps it so parents don't have to take time off work to get their kids to appointments. Mm-hmm. So kids aren't missing a bunch of hours of school because they've got a random therapy appointment at noon, and you know, so they're not missing as much school. We've got people right in the schools.
Wow.
And it works pretty slick also, because you know, in traditional models of therapy or mental health, they want to take the person, whoever that person is, and bring them away from whatever their problems are. Come talk to me in this wonderful vacuum. We'll talk about these things. Now go back into your system where all the problems are occurring. Well, if all the problems are occurring in the system, every now and then, hey, maybe it doesn't hurt to treat the system. So we got the therapists in the schools and the skills workers in the schools. So when the kids are struggling there live, they can get mental health services. But also it helps to see systemically what's going on at home, at school, peers, all those types of things. So we get more eyes out there on the person, seeing them in real life in order to try to make some more real world change. We like to make sure that it happens like in a therapy room, but you know, it's real life. Things are different, you know, than we'd like for them to be. So we got to be out there looking differently.
Mental health, I feel like, is becoming more of a mainstream topic. Just you know, it's something you can talk about, I would say, more openly than I've ever heard in the past, which I think is great. You know, I think it's needed. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it's more of a topic that is able to be talked about?
Okay. All right. How are we what are we dialing this up to? Right now we're at 65. Are we going up to 100 or are we going to keep it at 82? It's up to you.
It's Monday morning.
It's
Monday.
Yeah, it's Monday. People got to digest their coffee. Okay. We'll keep it up. We'll knock it up to 73. I think one of the major reasons that mental health is having such a huge shift in its perception is generational. Right? So there was a way that people were raised to think about these topics, and so that's the way they thought about it. I was raised thinking about them the old way, and I have a new way of thinking about them. Once you have internet, once you have online access, once you have Psychology Today, once you can look up 5 steps for mental health, 5 steps to solve this, 5 steps to reduce that, you look at it in a different way. In the past, it was this, I'm going to go here to these people, I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to close the door, I'm going to... lock, you know what I mean? It was very quiet and shh, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
They have mental health, they're crazy, or they're the R word, or whatever word to describe them, we don't understand them as other. Nowadays, it's, hey, guess what? Everyone's struggling with mental health. So instead of pretending like it doesn't exist, let's say, hey, where do you go for therapy? You go in there? I heard they suck. I go over here. You go over there for therapy? They're rated cheaper over there. So now therapy went from this taboo hidden secret to now. I was looking at a commercial. I was just trying to watch whatever I was watching, and Michael Phelps is like, hey, do you have anxiety? You should text a therapist. And I was like, oh, wow, we've gone full circle. When Fernbrook started back at, you know, 16 years ago in 2002, it started off as like 4 people in a basement. The owner, John Hommuller, his wife, and his wife was pregnant. They're like on computers trying to figure out how we're going to do all these things. And at that time, right, the millennial had just shifted. I was 12. Everybody else was younger than they are now, right, because that's how the past works. Right, and they were like, okay, we want to do mental health. We want it to be respectful of the community. So let's keep it shh. Let's keep it hush. We'll go out into the community. We'll do our work, but we won't be seen. We won't be heard. We're going to do these things. Nowadays, it's like, hey, if you got mental health, you need to be letting people know, because people don't know where to get these services. Mm-hmm. Or people are still working from those old models where it's like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. Well, now the more knowledge you can get about a topic, the more YouTube videos you can watch, the more times you can Google some facts, the more information, the better understanding you have of it. Now things can really start to make change, because not only is the person changing, but society in general is also changing. Mm-hmm. So I think the understanding of mental health in general is changing. But I think that came with a generational shift. There's a lot of other things that came up. But
well,
I think
and
it's
one thing
shift.
I think you mentioned is the internet. I feel like the internet played a role.
Social media. Yeah. I mean, there are celebrities who are posting about their own mental health. There have been, I mean, celebrities overdosing and attempting suicide. I mean, those are real things that affect
people,
real people. So I think more and more people are starting to talk about it and say that it's a thing that lots of people struggle with. And so then people see that and relate to that and feel like if so-and-so is talking, you know, if Michael Phelps is on a commercial talking about it, it must be okay for me to say that this is hard.
Yeah. Celebrities are using their influence in a different way now to say, hey, they're paving the road for let people, other common people like us know, hey, things are okay. If you go on Instagram right now and you post that you have depression, you know how many thumbs ups you're going to get and people saying, hang in there, we got your back, no matter what, don't give up. Back on MySpace, if you put something like that, you would have got death threats. F you, you effing spaz. Yeah. Go ahead and jump. Who gives a F? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things have changed now. So, you know, generationally, I think we, as a society, humanity, we're maturing. We understand more than we... Back in 1990, when I was born, right? Psychology was still at the beginning of that century. Psychology really took place in the early 1900s. I was born at the end of the 1900s. Now we're in the 2000s. Now all of that century is behind us, so we have an opportunity to exhale and look at all of it instead of looking at half of it, right? We can look at all of it and examine it to say, okay, where are some of our flaws and how do we look at it differently?
I think think there's been some stuff in the legislature too that's made it easier to access it. I mean, there have been bills and laws passed mm-hmm. that, you know, insurance companies have to cover it and you know, have to give people access, where 10-15 years ago, if you wanted to go see a therapist, you were paying out of pocket, and people just can't afford that, so they just weren't doing it either. Well, now my medical insurance pays for it, or my health insurance. There are more in existence, and so it's easier to get access to it too, where, I mean, in the past, people, they couldn't afford it. I mean, if you had to get on medication or go see a therapist, you were paying out of pocket, and that just wasn't affordable. And so we've come, I mean, there's more work to be done, but we've come a long ways in getting people access, and more research studies about it. Mental health is a basic need. And so if you aren't getting your basic needs met, kids aren't going to learn, people aren't going to function at work, and people can't be functioning members of society if they have significant underlying and untreated mental health issues. I mean, if you're sick, you go to the doctor. If you're not doing well mentally, you need to go see somebody. And we're getting closer to recognizing that, I think.
I like that. I didn't think of it. See, I said generational. She had a better.
I think it's both.
She said, but it, well, and that's the other thing. If you look at it from a classism lens, it used to be like a middle class, upper middle class luxury item.
Right.
Now it's trickling into the mainstream where everyone can access it. And at Fernbrook, a lot of our clients, they're on medical assistance or however. So we have clients of low socioeconomic status, and they don't have as many inherent resources as other people may have, but we still can provide mental health. Mm. Like 100 years ago,
And that's why we 50
years ago,
I mean, they don't have, a lot of our clients don't have transportation, you know. It's one parent with, you know, multiple kids, and they've got transportation barriers, they've got resource, financial barriers. I mean, you know, if you've got one kid who's got to go to therapy, are you supposed to take their five younger siblings with you and, like, hang out in the lobby? So
if you have one, if only one of the kids will need mental health.
I mean, we don't make them make that choice. We'll go to them and see them in the home or in the school or Duncan, wherever we need to, I guess. You know, I mean, wherever they're going to talk to us and open up.
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind for me as you were sharing about kind of this transparency and how the conversation is becoming more transparent and open. It reminds me of a kind of similar story, different industry. Over off of Broadway, there's Limlab. Limlab, they do prosthetics.
Yeah.
And the founders of that company wanted to bring the production of those limbs to the public, meaning you drive on Broadway and you can see them actually working on it, where it used to be behind the scenes, don't show that you have.
I think you can take tours there.
I've taken tours. Yeah.
You know? And it was like, hide, shush, don't show people that you actually have a prosthetic leg or whatever the case may be. And now it's like,
hey, look what I got.
Check it out.
Yeah.
You know?
So
it is shifting in multiple places, I think. And that's one of them.
Do you think that the internet can make it not helpful in a sense too? Because, like, I had a story where a coworker, like his younger daughter, kids in school on Facebook and stuff were taking these tests and stuff like that, because there's all these tests now to figure out who you are and what you are. And she took that, and, like, I forget what it said, but I mean, it, like, made her depressed. Like, because the kids were like, "Oh, you're that?
Oh, damn."
And then there was like, it like flopped, and now she was like, now she had to go see someone because after taking this test.
Right.
So it's like, because, I mean, kids are really influenced on what they're seeing.
Yeah, the internet,
I mean, stuff like that. I mean, the bullying is way worse and stuff like that. I mean, before you just got harassed like in the halls at school, now it's like follows you home and it's everywhere, and we can't let it go. So, I mean, I think it's both, but a lot of that comes back to trying to make us, you know, build resiliency in some of the kids too. And by, you know, helping create good systems around these kids and insulating them and fostering resiliency rather than just letting them independently and without any supervision and any guidance be doing those things. I think that's where it comes back to, like, making sure the kids have the skill. I mean, they have no frontal lobe. They don't have the ability to,
they
like,
don't
discern
get it.
What's
not
until
they're 25. Yeah, they got a while ways to go.
Yeah, so I mean, helping them do some of that work for them and being better at making sure that we're providing that insulation for kids, because it is hard. I mean, they're facing a lot of stuff that we didn't when we were kids.
Because we, like she said, like, the internet is like the new community.
Right.
Like, now instead of the community is the people across the street who watch you, now it's like
everybody.
Just the planet.
Yeah.
Just the people on Earth who have internet access, which is everybody. Right. So everybody's thoughts and everybody's opinions are out there, which is cool, because as humans, the way that we adapt is through teaching and modeling, learning from others. Well, before, you could only learn from your parents and your aunts and uncles. Now you can learn from a chef over in Italy what, and you're still in your living room. So it's awesome. You get to learn all these things that you never had access to. And with that comes all of the negative thoughts and the negative opinions. So I think kind of like psychology was in the 1900s, the early 1900s, I think that's where we are right now with internet. Towards the end of the 2000s, we're going to be on
we'll
top.
Have it
yeah, we'll have it on. Well, like we'll have it because social media is like brand new. Like when I was a kid, I had a BlackBerry, which, oh my God, how old am I? A BlackBerry? You know what I mean?
I didn't have a phone when I was a kid. Well,
I remember when I had the pager. I
was, right. Yeah, you had a pager. Right.
Sweet.
And we thought that was cool.
People can get a hold of me.
Yeah. Right. I think we'll find out better ways to navigate the internet as far as, or take Instagram for a wonderful example. I met you guys on Instagram just because I was out doing marketing research, just doing some curious things, and I met you all, right? Like, Instagram is like a way to make your reality what you want. The things that you want to see, you can see. The people you want to talk to, you can talk to, and the things you want to filter out, you can filter out. But right now, I think people are still trying to get to a point where, how do I take in good things and filter out bad things? Right now, they're just taking in all these things, and it's creating all these large, terrible, wonderful, overwhelming sensations and feelings. And if you're not 25, if you're a kid, oh my gosh, good luck. Mm-hmm. And if you're an adult, good luck, right? Like, we're all kind of in this thing together. Like, yeah, the internet's a horrible, wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. It's a weapon and a tool. So we're still trying to figure out how to wield it.
Well, that's good, yeah.
And I would compare it to so many things, right? You think of money. You think of, you know, all of it. There's the good and the bad. And so it's
just another means.
It's
another
we just haven't figured out how to educate people on, you know, healthy use and, like, how to do some, you know, we haven't gotten to the point where that's not part of mainstream education even, which, I mean, like, why isn't it? You know, like, why are we not having that part of normal conversation of how to use the internet in a healthy way?
Because we're battling, no, let's not use it. Sure, let's use it. Right? When it should be, we're going to use it this way or this way.
Yep.
So we're still at that.
I mean, and parents all over the place are trying to figure out how to police that. And, like, how much time should I let my kid be on the internet? How much should I supervise? I mean, that's everyone's trying to figure that out. We just haven't figured that out yet, I don't think.
I think it was on CNBC. I saw a school, and you've probably heard about these too, but it was a tool where everybody had to turn their phone in and then put it in this, like, Ziploc bag that actually didn't give them service. And that was their policy through the day. And there were several schools, and I want to say it was down south, that were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they then interviewed some of the students, and, you know, there's a couple of students like, it's the worst. And then there was other students that were like, no, after doing it for a month, it's actually been nice.
Right.
You know, I'm
forced them to take a break that they couldn't do for themselves. Probably.
Yeah. Exactly. So I can't remember the name of the technology, but it was interesting to see where it was like, throw it in the Ziploc bag and you don't get it all day. So
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Somebody's probably talking about rights, and somebody's talking about responsibility, right. But I don't know.
Yeah. All right, tell us about the vegan millennial. What is the vegan millennial? I was looking at your Instagram, and there's some good-looking food on there.
Oh, right. Thank you.
makes me hungry.
Some of those tasty yummies, yeah. So, okay, I'll tell you about how I kind of came up with it. So it was about, I'd say last fall, maybe even September, October. I had been vegan for probably about a year and a half, and I was starting to see, like, okay, eating the normal diet that I'm eating, I'm starting to lose some muscle mass, and I'm starting to put on some body fat that I wasn't. I was like, how am I gaining this? Because I'm exercising, right? So I was what's considered, like, skinny fat, where you're not overweight, but your muscle mass isn't there either. And I was like, well, this isn't a good representation of who I want to be right now. I'm skinny fat. Yeah. I was like, F. I was like, I'm not good for anybody. Like, I have no strength, but I also can't fit through small things. Like, this isn't good. And so So I need to make some changes. So I decided I was going to go on, like, a, you know, 90-day transformation or however, but I needed a partner to come with me. Right? So I said, I'm going to do a 90-day transformation, but I'm going to do it all living and maintaining my vegan diet and my vegan lifestyle. And so that's kind of where the whole thing started. I was like, look around in the world. So many terrible things are going on. So many question marks. I also work, my second job, I work for the Diversity Council, and I'm an equity and inclusion trainer, right? So I look at the world from a social justice perspective pretty hard also. So when I look at veganism, I also look at it through social justice, right? And so I'm looking at the world. I'm like, this place is a pile of S, right? Can you curse on this podcast?
We try not to.
Yeah, this world.
I think someone did it once. This we world, don't stop it.
It's a, I'm looking around. It's a pile of poop. And I'm like, how am I going to be able to make a change and help this pile of poop get better, right? Because I'm thinking, well, I work in mental health. I give speeches and things. I try to use my words to tell people to make things different. And it dawned on me that if my words were so wonderful and radical, why don't I take them myself and change my own life? So then, I think it was November 25th or 27th, that's when I started my Instagram page, The Vegan Millennial, and I started my journey towards self-improvement, but really it's towards physical improvement also. And along the way, originally I was going to go in there, post workout videos, post progress pics and things, then post some, you know, some motivational stuff, post some food. Well, it ended up, I don't know, I just got obsessed with food. And I just started posting food 2, 3, 4 times a day, just like food, food, food. So it turned into this food page. Well, the 90 days came to an end, and I'm, you know, I'm still in the journey. I'm not where I ultimately want to be, but I'm in the middle of it. Well, I got bored, and I said, you know what? I'm tired of going to the gym. I was going to Northgate Fitness over here in Rochester. It's a great place. But I got bored just doing standard weight training, and I started doing more calisthenics, more body weight and things. And the principle behind that was, well, I need to gain more self-control, and I wanted to have complete control of myself. From my core, being able to lift myself, push myself, do whatever I needed with myself. I wanted to work on me before I would try to work on manipulating or moving other objects, no matter how physical they would be. So I changed my mentality to calisthenics, which is more self-control, and I changed my focus towards, hey, if I'm going to make the world better, I got to make myself better in the process. Less talking and more action.
More ninja.
Yeah. So I. Well, that's the thing.
More ninja.
And it should be. Now, you know what? I'm gonna go on IG after this and change it. Right now it says 90-day transformation. I'm gonna change it to more ninja.
Right.
Yeah. So I went from the 90-day transformation. Now I'm doing ninja stuff. Who knows how it'll look in the fall? But it'll keep moving, keep progressing, and I'm doing it all on a plant-based lifestyle, because that fits with the way I see the world. But yeah, join me if you'd like at The Vegan Millennial on Instagram. I haven't posted a lot lately, but I'm trying to shift how do I go from just food to, like, I want to post some good calisthenics and some ninja stuff, but some of the good stuff. Last thing I posted was me trying to do a handstand in my living room, and I broke my speaker and didn't break my shoulder, but it doesn't feel good. So I want to post some good content on there, so I'm in the middle of
that
trying
is good content.
Get some skills.
That is. That's real life. That's real life. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you weren't there when my wife got home. Well, you weren't there when my wife got home, Bucky D.
She wasn't happy.
Yeah. I had a whole conversation about why I shouldn't do those handstands. Yeah. So, you know, trying to do things that are safe and respectful in my environment.
No holes in the wall. You're okay.
Not yet, because I'm banned from doing handstands in the kitchen.
Only at Northgate.
And that's why, that's literally how I found the ninja gym. My wife was like, you know what? You can't do handstands in the house no more.
You.
So you're going to have to do it somewhere else. And I was like, okay, well, I'll get a mattress and we'll do it outside. She said, nope.
Yeah.
So I found the ninja gym over at Jets Northeast.
There we go.
Yeah.
I like how Instagram can become a place that you can document a journey such as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, have it for... Yeah. Your own enjoyment
for
as well.
All eternity and all the world can see.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you active on social at all?
I am a little. Mine is fairly boring compared to Aaron's.
Well, she's got a wonderful family. She has a wonderful
kids,
family.
So
she has a wonderful family.
Yeah, I post funny pictures and weird things my kids do, mm-hmm. but no handstands.
You should try one. You'd break something too, I guarantee.
I probably
you, of course, you'd for sure break something.
Yeah,
I think you should try
it. Break something in my house,
yeah.
My kids, myself.
But you wouldn't have to get mad at anyone other than you.
Well, that's true. And you for encouraging me.
Oh, right, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, I have Facebook and Instagram, but mm-hmm. it's mostly pictures of my kids, I would say, mm-hmm. and cool. funny things that they do.
Are you guys very active with Fernbook?
As far as the Fernbrook, so Fernbrook social media is in a kind of like Buggy said, in a transformation stage.
Yeah.
We had a Instagram page at Fernbrook FFC for a long time, but we didn't know what to do. We didn't have like a social media department, so we had it.
Oh,
we'd
yeah.
post things here and there. We'd put some stuff on Facebook, but it wasn't something where like MediaCorp. I'll plug you guys. MediaCorp. If I go on my Instagram, there's always something going on in the circle timeline. He's always doing something new. There's always some educational thing that I can learn from it. There's always some value that I can take from that page. And so obviously I've remained faithful to the page for the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months. Fernbrook, we got some stuff on there, but right now we're in the process of trying to, how do we create consistent content that keeps people coming back and it's valuable? We're not trying to sell anything necessarily. However, we offer, like we got every, okay, people who work there, they're psychologists, they're therapists, they work in mental health, they got master's degrees, they got doctorate, you got all these wonderful, this group of people with all this wonderful knowledge. We can add value in some way through our social media. We're trying to figure out how.
And so what's some ideas?
So we've talked about maybe having like some weekly topical things where hey, it's Thursday. We want to check in with a therapist. Where we have four or five therapists who are in the office at random times. Why can't we get a therapist to come do an IG Live Q&A every Thursday? Different therapists, same right. questions, different perspective, mm-hmm. right? We go to career fairs and job fairs. We're thinking, hey, how can we maybe do some IG Live, some things, interacting with some people at some of the fairs? So the people who aren't at the fairs, they can look in and say, oh, look, they're at the fair again. Okay, oh, they're coming to our town. They're coming to right. our school. Things like that to kind of jump up.
We're in like the brand awareness phase yeah. because mm-hmm. we were yep. very much like a hidden gem, I would say. I mean,
that's what 2002 required. That was 2002
like,
required.
Yeah, we couldn't be in your face. Like, yeah. This is who we are. This is yeah. what we do. And I think sometimes, especially in this part of the country, like confidence is viewed in a negative, you know, like as arrogant mm-hmm. or pompous or whatever. And so we are really cognizant of not doing that. But so we're trying to figure out how do we get brand awareness of like, this is what we do. Right. I mean, we've got this beautiful new building going up.
Gorgeous.
Like, I mean, we need to celebrate some of that. And like, we've worked hard to get to this point. I mean, we have 50 staff in Olmsted now, you know, 6 years wow. ago we had wow, four. Wow. And so like, you know, clearly we're doing something right. Mm-hmm. And so how do we get that out there? So I think right now we're still trying to use social media just to get people to recognize who we are
right.
before we can figure out, you know, what do we want to do with that? Like right. now that we've got people listening, like, hey, I want to know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Now we need to figure out what we're going to tell them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we've got talented people who mm-hmm. have a lot of interesting things to say. It's just a matter of getting enough people following and recognizing who we are. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got buses driving around with our logos. We've got billboards. Yeah. We've got radio ads. Yep. We're just trying to get people to see who we are and what we do mm-hmm. and build that following. And then,
and it's also such a big organization because we're here in Olmsted, but they're headquarters in Owatonna. So the things that we're posting and the people that people are getting to know, are we doing it for Olmsted? Are we doing it for Owatonna? So there's different offices. So we're trying to figure out how do we get all this turned into one organization where everybody can come, know who we are and what we're about. So like we're in the brainstorming phase.
I really think education mm-hmm. is the key. I mean, that's the what can unlock mm-hmm. a lot of opportunities for the business, for right. people connecting with you mm-hmm. just in general, for opening up the conversation, for it to be more of a transparent conversation even locally.
And normalizing things. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, especially I think in Rochester, I mean, in a medical community, it's
yeah.
you know, it's a challenge, I think, to get people to see it from a different perspective than right. a medical model where I go to the doctor and they give me a pill and that right. fixes this thing. Like, I think that's what we're used to doing. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm sick, I go to the doctor, I get medication, and I'm better. It doesn't work that yeah. way with mental health. I mean, there are medications, but it's probably not going to fix the problem.
Right.
So I think we're trying to figure out how to provide that transparency.
Because of the stigma. Because on our right. signs and our billboards now, we talk about trying to overcome the stigma of mental health. You guys, if you wouldn't mind, just a free association. If I say mental health, what comes to your mind? Like, I'm not trying to, there's no right answer. Right. Just like, what's your.
Yeah, I honestly, not a ton. Like, okay. I don't have enough, I guess, awareness and understanding yet to really.
Sure.
You know, associated good, with one
yeah,
certain
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. If you hurt mental health,
I mean,
what comes
to
your
mind? I mean, psychologists, like, you know, seeing somebody in a room that it's like, you know, what the movies portray of yeah. me right. laying down and then, yeah. you right, know, right. like.
And yeah. that's what we learned in school.
Right,
too.
That's
I mean,
what
I
they
think,
teach you.
Yeah, I mean, you go to school to learn how to be a therapist and you are learning how to, like, be an upper middle class white mm-hmm. dude with a cigar with someone laying on your couch talking about how their divorce is stressing them out. And, like, and so we're, mental health is that? In this weird, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, I think schools are trying to figure out how to incorporate more real life experience because that's not what it's going right. to be like. But how do we teach new therapists what this is going to be like? How do we do therapy different? And how do we do something different when people are just finally starting to get comfortable with it right. at all? So right. like not right. only are we pushing the envelope of we're going to do therapy, we're going to talk about therapy, but now we're saying we also need to do it different than everything that you think is going to happen.
Right.
So it's mm-hmm. in this weird, like, we're pushing a lot of boundaries.
We're in the gray.
And it's, yeah.
As a company, we could say we live in the gray, but yeah, it's a gray area. But as a follow-up, what do you guys, when I say physical health, what do you guys think of when you say physical health?
Yeah,
like working out.
Go to the gym.
Gym, working out.
Yeah.
The reason that I said that, I've asked people that in the past, and a lot of times when you say mental health, people think depression, anxiety, they list off all these illnesses or symptoms. But if I were to say, what do you think of physical health? You don't name off cancer, leukemia, Oscar Schlatter's broken arm.
Yeah,
right?
You think of the solution.
Yeah, so if I said physical illness, you would think of some of the diseases. Mental health, even trying to think of it in a positive, a lot of the negative associations right. still come to our mind. Right. When you think mental health, it should be mindfulness, taking a break, exercise, hanging out with your family. Those types of things are mental health. So like he said, there's not, like Josh said, not a lot comes to my mind when I think of mental health. Like Bucky said, old 1900 stuff comes to mind, right? So there's not a consensus or positive bias or association to the word mental health at all. So like you said, you got to start with education, understanding mental health, understanding the biases, the negative biases against it. And then from there, okay, let's treat you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot to do on the front end before we even get to sit down in the chair.
One thing that comes to mind for me is you need to make the video that is how fishing helps with mental health. Right. Like, I want to see that video because that'll be like, yes, I need to go fishing more.
And we run fishing groups.
We have fishing groups. We do. We do. 100%. 100%.
It's a great place to practice impulse control because if you aren't able to control your impulses, there's a lot of hooks. There are like weapons involved. In
a lot of red leaky stuff comes out the fingers.
Yeah. So we have two groups every summer, or last summer and this summer, where we take, I mean, last summer there were a lot too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there were.
Chase had like four groups?
14 groups or something. Yeah, where we take them to different like ponds and man-made holes around town and teach them how to use fishing as a coping skill, as a way to practice impulse control. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to practice communication skills.
Yep.
You got to ask for what you need. You got to ask for help. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to learn.
Bucky, would you like to be on our list? Would you like to be on our list, Bucky? We're running groups in the summer, Bucky. You're welcome to join.
Yeah, everyone's keep me
posted. Dungeons and Dragons. As a way to teach like social skills to kids, and also a good way to practice.
Because how cool would that be when you say, "So what do you think of? What do you think mental health?" And my response is fishing.
I'd be like, "Yes, yeah, exactly." Reading a book, wonderful. Anime, yes, yeah. That's what mental health is. Things that make mentally healthy, keep your brain going in the right direction.
The other one that's on my mind is, you know, how can you educate entrepreneurs, the group that we're so passionate about here at China Hall. Okay. About mental health and how it can help them through that entrepreneurial journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's out there. I haven't looked on YouTube, but there's definitely can be more. Right. I mean, and that's like the ups and downs of that journey.
Now, Buck, you said you looked on YouTube. Now we are, and all four of us here, we're content creators.
There we go.
I see a bag of cash for somebody. We'll split the cash for it. Yeah.
But I think that's the real opportunity in this area is just helping connect it to those that for other reasons would not go and try to find somebody. Right.
And I agree with you because I think that mental health right now, it's over here, its own separate thing. But I think when we look back at the early 2000s compared to what it looks like towards the later end of this century, I think mental health is going to be kind of like vegan Parmesan cheese, where it's just kind of sprinkled a little bit onto everything, where no matter what industry or where you work, there's mental health services available in that entity, or there's mental health services. At least there's an understanding of it, or where you can go get help, and where it can point you to.
Yeah.
I think we'll get to the point where even employers recognize that their employees need to be healthy. Mm. You know, whether that's physical. I mean, a lot of employers offer gym memberships.
They get that.
Mm-hmm. You know, they offer medical insurance. They offer other benefits. Mm-hmm. But I hope and foresee that a future will come where, you know, they're bringing in people to do consultation and mental health training as part of their onboarding process or part of their ongoing training that they have in their company. Or, you know, they have someone come in and they're doing like group yoga or mindfulness and meditation. So, I mean, we're not doing like group therapy necessarily, but teaching people the skills they need to manage when things get hard.
Right.
Because that's part of it is you need to go to therapy to deal with stuff, but you also need to have a basic set of skills to be able to handle things because life is stressful and inevitably you're going to get thrown a curveball and you need to have the skills to handle that.
Correct.
And I don't think those things are just automatics. Like, we need to teach people those things. So, I mean, I'm hopeful that at some point that'll become a normal benefit and part of employment is that you get that benefit at work.
And in the vein, like she said, people coming in ongoing because it's supposed to be mental health and it's not supposed to be mental illness.
Right.
Because we're trying to work from a newer preventative wellness model. Like you, like the chiropractor, right? Like, I'm in my early 20s, but the chiropractor, he looks at my spine. He says, okay, you have phase one subluxation, which means you're a millennial and that you're on your phone a lot and you slouch and you look forward. Duh, we're all, you know. So, right? So this preventative model where if I go to the chiropractor now at 28, go in there a couple times, it's going to make sure that by the time I'm 58, 68, I can still stand and I am still in phase one or I didn't get past there or even reversed it. Mental health is kind of like the same way. It's like right now there's people who are suffering from the effects of it and we're trying to catch them up to get them well. But once we get society or our folks, at least a lot of folks in a good position, now we want to work from a preventative maintenance model to say, how can we go into organizations, companies, sprinkle this across our communities so that people have ongoing ways to stay mentally healthy. Right. So we don't have to go down that path of all the 1800s and the 1900s negative things.
Love it. All right. We've made it. We made it to our 40-minute mark.
Nice.
That's where we try to get
to. Nice, nice.
Thank you so much. I think we should wrap it up with what's one cool thing going on in Rochester that you want to give a shout out to, or it's, whether it's a business or a place or an event or just something. Maybe you've went there with your family. Maybe you've, I mean, you've already said Jets several times. That was pretty sweet.
Oh, I love Jets. I'm going there again this Sunday because that's the only time I can go for Ninja stuff.
And then where can people find out more about Fernbrook? I think that would be good as well. So let's make our rounds. What you got?
Okay. So I would say things to get excited for in the community. I believe April 20th. Well, let me get my phone out. I want to give you the exact.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
What is it?
So there's going to be a community tree planting southeast. So
cool.
I work here at Fernbrook. I work at the Diversity Council, but I'm also on the Our Neighbor.
A lot of jobs.
On the Our, I'm on the committee for Our Neighbor Woods, which they. I'm an urban forester, and so what we do is we go out in the community and we plant. Yeah, we plant. This is my vegan side coming out. So we go in. We plant trees in different neighborhood areas in order to increase the shade. It saves on heating. It saves on cooling. It saves the city a ton of money just because all the benefits that trees provide. But we're having a tree planting coming up here on.
Sometime in April.
Yeah.
Right. It was when is like Earth Day, April 20 something.
Usually. Yeah. Spring neighborhood.
That's awesome.
It's on a Saturday. Oh,
and we need more trees.
28th probably. That's is it the 28th?
On that side of town. 27. A lot of the trees are older. You know, that's their old neighborhood. So.
Yeah.
A nice tree right here.
That is a nice tree. I don't pay enough attention to the trees. I need to pay more attention to them.
I'm sorry, I don't have it in here.
Take your time.
There's a, I have a Tree Fest Expo. That's not the one. Community Tree Planting, April
27th. Woo!
Saturday, April 27th at 8:30 a.m. There's going to be a community tree planting out southeast over by Kelly Lane. So we're gonna. Our goal is to try to get 200 trees in the ground from 8:30 to noon. Usually there's about like 100 to 200 volunteers. But I'll be one of the citizen foresters. I'll show you the trees, show you how to get them in the ground. But we need like 200 people in the community just to come out, have fun. But yeah, have fun for a Saturday morning. Bring a kid, bring both your kids, bring your kids and your puppies, whatever it is. It's going to be over by Kelly Lane, April 27th, 8:30 in the morning. We'll be outside hanging out, planting trees, doing what we can for our community. So that's what's going on, exciting for, you know, for in my world.
Nice.
But you can also follow me at The Vegan Millennial, and you can also follow Fernbrook at Fernbrook FFC on Instagram.
Okay.
Yes,
good.
Yes, yes.
Instagram, follow that. LinkedIn, and Facebook.
Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Fernbrook FFC.
Very cool.
Yes, Twitter, yes, yes.
Maybe, right? Yeah, it looks like Twitter, too.
Yep.
Looking at the links up there on the website.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, if you go to our website, fernbrook.org, we got all the links to all our social up in the top right-hand page, right-hand corner. And if you're in need of, I don't know, a job, feel free to hit that tab over there. It says apply now. We got positions that are always open. We have like a rolling type of hiring process where we just hire as we need. We always need good folks. If you have mental health experience, you love mental health, you have a curiosity about mental health, give us a give us a call, give us an email, shoot us a DM, see what's going on.
Nice. What you got in the Rochester community?
I mean, I don't have I'm not planting trees or like.
But you could on the 27th.
I could on the 27th.
And you could bring all the kids.
I don't have an event to share with my third job necessarily.
Right. What's a cool place there? What you
so
got?
So I'm just like excited. Even last weekend, just being out and about. So we just moved into a new neighborhood in our new house in October, and so like I am just pumped. Like spring seems like it is finally here. Mm-hmm. This winter has been long and terrible, and so I even driving down here, like just seeing people, like there are people. And so I'm excited to think about like
people
first,
live here.
Yeah, like there are people here.
It's cold
like,
enough. Yeah.
First starting, and just like I am excited to start getting out on the trails, walking, riding bikes, and just.
And not wearing your coat.
Yes,
and not wearing
I'm
your coat.
I'm refusing to wear a coat, even though it's cold.
Yeah.
I'm done.
She was protesting the weather.
I am protesting.
She said, "F it.
Spring is here."
Yeah.
I will wear spring. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just pumped about, like, I mean, there's a lot of cool things that the town has going on weekends and even during the week to get people out and about and around each other. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Mm. Yes. Love it. It makes us appreciate spring and summer so much more. Those
right?
rough winters.
Yeah, so much more.
Yeah.
So much more.
Yeah.
What you got, Josh?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for coming. This was great. I think you're in a cool spot, too, with being in that gray area, kind of being able to, like, pave the way, I think that's a really cool place to be. I'd say just last week we got to go to the new Hilton.
Yeah.
Here in Rochester. Got a cool tour of that. And it's pretty amazing what they're doing over there. Cool spot, but
yeah. And the Pittsburgh Blue, the steakhouse.
Yeah.
That's there.
That looked good.
So things happening in Rochester, which is good.
Nice, nice.
I'm going to do a shout out to Offices of China Hall. So every Thursday night we have ping pong and networking.
Nice.
And we do it from 5 to 7. And it's fun because we've had just a mixture of people show up and you never know who's going to show up. And it's been fun to just see that event start to kind of turn into a regular thing. And I think Thursdays on First and other things happen in downtown will help.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a fun place to connect with people interested in
ping pong and networking.
Ping pong, networking, yeah, the internet, and nice. Using it in business.
I love the internet.
It's really cool. So that's what I got.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And we're looking forward to learn more about your place and maybe a ribbon cutting once you get into your new location.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before we came. I was talking to our colleagues to figure out we're close where we need to start identifying when we're gonna have an open house and a ribbon cutting. So probably May sometime. We'll have to let you know.
Yeah.
You guys will be invited.
Yeah, we gotta get moved first.
Yes. We gotta move everything. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's it. Alrighty. That's the Offices of China Hall podcast. You can check this out on Spotify. I think we got it out there on the iTunes and a couple other places. So thank you for checking out the video and be sure to check it out on the other platforms. We'll see ya.
Thanks.
See ya.
Yep, thank you.
It's not that rough, is it?
No, it wasn't.
I'm like, can you send us a link or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet. So it's a 40-minute.